Good afternoon. Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we tell you how you can use a new app on your phone to rent a bathroom while traveling.
Wait a minute. You mean like a one-shot visit, so to speak?
Exactly.
What's that all about?
You'll have to listen to the show to find out. It's coming up in the travel news in a few minutes if I get to the travel news.
What do you like? Go just knock on the door and ask if you can use the bathroom? How's that work?
Look, have you ever been on the road and ever really needed to use a bathroom, a clean bathroom? Maybe I should ask your wife this question.
Yeah, come on. Leave her out of this. Okay, I think I get it.
Elsewhere in the travel news, resort fees are on the rise, and we tell you how you can get a singing Valentine delivered in person.
At 3:15, we ask you to call in and tell us where your favorite airport food hangout is. Could be Sacramento, could be anywhere. Best participant wins a gift card from the Cheesecake Factory. You just be listening for the signal to call in.
At the bottom of the hour, we're joined by Steve LaRosa, and he and Tom are going to take you on a tour that I promise will make you want to immediately visit a local international landmark. The rest is a mystery.
You bet it is. And finally, at 3:45, we're joined by Jack Gallagher, a local comedian and actor, here to tell you about his new show. It's called Five Songs, currently playing at the B Street Theater.
Those are the headlines. Welcome, everyone. It's a rainy Sunday afternoon in Sacramento, California, and you're listening to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out on Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Oh, goodness. Welcome. We're on with a show. It's the Travel Guys radio show on KFBK.
Look, the food delivery is arriving.
It has. I'm Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman to my left, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Must be kind of warm in the studio. Everybody was taking off their jackets.
Yeah.
I didn't have a jacket, so.
started getting undressed.
Yeah, so when I started to take off my pants, they put a stop to that. Welcome. It's a wonderful, wonderful Sunday afternoon. It's so beautiful to see it rain.
There's not very many places in the country. And as I look out the window right now, I see that if you're going eastbound on 80 towards the mountains, well, you're fine. But if you're going westbound towards downtown Sacramento, what we like to call the pinch here at Cal Expo, they're not moving at all. So if you're thinking of getting on Highway Business 80 right away and going downtown, I know this is not a traffic report, but I can look out the window and tell you it's not moving very fast. How are you, Mr. Romano?
Doing well. Doing well. Had a great week. Just so glad to see it raining and bringing
some... It was really raining a little while ago.
It was. It was. I had to drain water off of my swimming pool. You know, there was a few... The last time we had a big storm in December, I couldn't believe it. There was a story on one of the local TV stations, and they were interviewing a woman in the backyard of her house, and her pool water was near the top. And she had gone out, and she had gotten sandbags. And she was sandbagging around the perimeter of the pool. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, when is the reporter or the cameraman or somebody with any intelligence at all going to let this lady know that she can drain the water off of the pool? Most of them, you can do it by way of just the pump system. You could if you didn't have that, you could put a hose in. But you would want to drain the water off. Uh-huh. Not sandbag around a swimming pool.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how. Steve, you were in television for a long time. How does a TV reporter and a cameraman not have enough smarts to figure that out? Or were they just really needed a story?
I think I would have encouraged her to continue with the sandbagging, put in a diving board, and made it a safe situation. You've got another 2 feet on the end of the swimming pool, so you're good to go.
There you go. A lot of stuff going on in the show today, so I guess we better get to it. Mark, you got a handful of what looks like today's travel news.
Aha.
What's up?
The very first and most important story we alluded to in the headlines. This is a brand new app. You're not going to believe the name of this. You've heard of Airbnb, right?
Right, Airbnb.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the app that helps you find a bathroom when you're on the road is called?
Airbnb.
You got it.
There you go. I tell you.
How did you? You haven't even
no,
seen
it. No, I just had it made a wild guess.
I'm currently downloading it onto my iPad as we speak. It's free. It's Airbnb. It's also called Leakeasy.
Basically, it will find the closest restaurant to where you
it
are.
It will. The gentleman who wrote, or the lady who wrote this story for Smarter Travel, she was in Berkeley, California, and she opened it up and found that there were two restrooms listed in Berkeley. One was a dollar, and one was $1,337. It did, in its defense, call itself the best bathroom in Berkeley. It obviously was just, you know, somebody who really didn't want you to come use the bathroom, but they were just playing along. Lovely parting gifts. But anyways, hypothetically, you could go into a city and you could pull this up. And, you know, maybe a block away, there was someone's home that you could go and use their bathroom and give them $2. I don't know. It seems goofy to me, but I... You know,
so it's not about an app that will show you where the nearest public restroom is.
No,
to
it
you.
Is not. That's different. That's a different
this
app.
This is like Airbnb, where people actually
people
will
are
contribute
willing to
offer the use
you,
of their restroom.
Exactly. Yeah. For a small charge, we'll let you pee and pee, so far, so to speak, in their
Do we have a 7 second delay on
facility?
This
yeah, we don't need one. They pretty much say something at the beginning of the program that says they disown anything we say in the next hour. Or so, all right, measles at Disneyland. Recently, there was an outbreak in Disneyland as of February the 3rd. There were 102 confirmed infections in 14 states about measles, and so folks have gotten kind of excited about this. I had a lady the other day call the office, and she said, are people still going to Disneyland? And I assured her that thousands of people were going there every
day.
Has
not made a bit of difference in regards to the attendance at Disneyland.
So, and if you have had your measles vaccine, which is commonly called MMR for measles, mumps, and rubella, then and you're in good health, then you can go to Disneyland no problem. If you haven't had that vaccination, doesn't matter where you're going, public health officials now encourage you to get that vaccination. So,
or they encourage you to not go.
Or not exactly, or don't go out in public. So
you would think that something like that would slow people down from going to the park, but my daughter who was there, well, just about a week ago, it had no impact at all. In fact, it was Super Bowl Sunday. Two things didn't occur.
Uh-huh.
The measles did not prevent anybody from going, and the fact that it was the Super Bowl dispelled whatever information you had in regards
it
to it being one of the slowest days of ticket mm-hmm. sales at Disneyland. It was packed.
Well, there you go. And it turned out to be a pretty good Super Bowl game at the, you know.
It did.
How did that Seattle coach make that call at the goal? Oh, my goodness.
That's another story.
Yeah, it's another story. Yeah. Listen, we alluded in the headlines also that resort fees are on the rise. A record 107 hotels in Orlando are now charging resort fees, which average about $11.50 a night. Miami, there are 100 hotels in Miami charging a resort fee that averaged $20 a night. Vegas, 93 hotels charged a resort fee, averaging a little over $20 a night. A late 2014 survey by the American Hotel and Lodging Association says that the number of hotels charging resort fees has more than doubled in the last 2 years, from 3% to 7%. So apparently people are not complaining very loudly.
Well, that's a big sign for Airbnb, no resort fee.
Uh-huh.
Romano's, when we have big weekend parties this summer in the backyard,
people.
Resort fee.
Are you going to let them use the facilities?
I don't know.
Will that be extra?
For a resort fee. That'll be part of what's included in the resort fee. Free Wi-Fi.
I found a new way to rent a car. With your smartphone, these guys rent silver Audis, and I have rented one in Dallas when I'm down there in a couple of weeks. So we will find out about this. It's called Silver Car.
Well,
they only rent silver Audis.
Really?
That's all they rent. They come, they bring your car to you. When you get to the airport, you tell them that you're ready on your phone, that you're ready, and they can see where you are, and they come and bring your car to you. So we're going to try this later this month. It's called silvercar.com, and we're going to try it and see if it works. Every car, every day, is either $59 or $89.
It's not bad.
So not
I expect especially delivery and all that to be three times that.
I've gotten kind of addicted, I must tell you, to Uber.
The Uber is wrong with
Well,
you?
You just, you know, you open your phone and you...
Yep.
You punch the thing and you tell it where you are.
Yeah.
And it tells you the only thing that can happen, which happened to me in San Diego this week during rush hour, the fares, and it tells you that's just going to happen, were 3.7 times higher than they would normally be because it was a rush hour, and they had, so it's supply and demand controlled.
Wow.
If they can see that they have a lot of demand for cars and there aren't enough cars on the road, then they pump the dollars up, because what that does is it encourages other people, Uber drivers who are not out on the road driving, to get in their car and go out and make themselves available because they can make good money.
Now, are you able to see the fares and what the prices are prior to?
Yeah, you can see, it tells you what your estimated fare is prior to and how long the drive. Each time, I ordered it four times in San Diego, and I have to tell you, the driver arrived within 2 minutes every time. The cars were all clean. Everybody, they were nice every time. It was a superior experience to a taxi cab. So I'm telling all of you 50-somethings and 60-somethings out there who haven't put this on your phone yet, you just go and download it and look at it, or get your grandkids to explain it to you.
Any reason why you do Uber instead of Lyft?
The pink mustache on the front of the car is kind of weird to me.
Okay.
I think that's just kind of strange. And the whole fist bump thing, they've gotten away from that, though. They have said publicly that they've gotten away from that, and they've told drivers they don't have to put that pink thing on the front of the car anymore. So obviously I'm not the only person that made a little bit weird. So anyways, we've got some other stuff here, but we're running out of time. The New York Times Travel Show, where we did our show from a couple of weeks ago, attendance was up 24% over 2014. So that indicates that perhaps more people are traveling or thinking about traveling, because even the trade show attendance was up 11%. So more people in the travel trade came out to the country's, one of the country's biggest of travel shows. There's a really big one in Los Angeles next week. If I wasn't really busy, I would try to get down there. And finally, here's a list of the where did Americans travel most in 2014? And did we talk about this last week, that Sacramento was 34th on this list?
I don't think so. Okay. You know, I'm pretty good at remembering your lists.
Okay.
The list, man.
Sacramento was 34th on its listed city in the country as to where people traveled last year. And the comments about why to travel to Sacramento, very easy airport to negotiate, much easier, more favorable than the Bay Area, which is something that local airport officials try to sell from time to time, and also that hotel prices in Sacramento were some of the most reasonable in the country.
Ran into some folks down in Monterey who were actually from England, and they were traveling to Monterey to vacation. And where was it that they made their central location for all of their destination travel in California? Sacramento.
Yeah.
Flew all the way in, stayed in Sacramento, made trips to L.A., Bay Area, up into the mountains.
You can save yourself a few bucks if you hub and spoke out of Sacramento for a few days. And finally, we told you a couple weeks ago that the airlines are not really reducing fares as much as they're just having these spot sales. The sales are getting more frequent. I don't think they're going to slop over into the summer months at all, but they are now slopping over into May and early June. So United Airlines has one until the 14th of February, and most of the other carriers are matching. It's not the most spectacular sale in history, but they are cheaper airfares than you were getting. Remember, I think Southwest is the only carrier where you can buy a ticket, and after, when more than 24 hours goes by, you find a lower fare, you can go back and they will reticket you at the lower fare, and they don't charge you anything, that $200 obnoxious fee for reticketing. So if your fares are all over the place right now, so if you see something that's really high, you might make it a Southwest ticket, because then if it comes down, you can lower it. And that is the travel news for today.
And coming up now, as we promised, we're going to be talking about your favorite place to dine.
In an airport.
In an airport, any place that you have traveled. It can be Sacramento or any destination. And Mark, kind enough to bring in some Cheesecake Factory gift cards.
Cheesecake Factory gift cards. $50
to hand out.
921-1530. 800-834-1530. Those are the phone numbers. 921-1530. 800-834-1530. We want to know where you like to eat in an airport. Where you like to eat in an airport that you can share with other folks here. Travel Guys listeners, we're trying to make you a smarter traveler. We will be right back. Recapping the storm tomorrow. Right.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations.
You know, I can't think of anybody I'd have rather recap the storm than Kitty O'Neill.
Absolutely.
That's just a personal thing.
There you go.
She has the nicest voice in the afternoon. She makes the afternoon sound better.
She's very, very smooth, very pleasant to listen to.
Well, just in the afternoons, you need somebody that just is, that feels a little bit like your mother. And you
I don't know if she's good.
Well, I don't know. It's just the, about the you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
It's just, it's a comfort level. The school teacher, you know, that you always, joys felt good when you, it's just, you turn on the radio in the afternoon and Kitty's on the radio and you think all is right with the world.
KFBK has a reputation of being reliable. Uh-huh. And when it's presented by somebody like Kitty, who has the believability, the reliability, the professionalism that she has, you know, then unquestionably you're getting accurate information from the best.
Yeah, that's the truth. All right.
And
anyway,
she's a nice gal.
She is a nice.
By the way,
lady.
She and her husband Kurt. What's the name of the band, Louise? She's got a rock and roll band now.
Really?
Yeah. They're they played something like pool. What was it? It's the Who, not the cesspool. What?
All right. If we have a lot of callers on the line here, if we don't get to this,
anyway,
well, we're not going
to
have time to this.
Listen to the Pat Walsh show. He'll
for all
tell
of those
you
of you who don't
it.
Win a prize today, call Tom personally on Monday and talk to him about it.
Okay.
All right. So before we went to the break, we asked folks, what is your favorite place to eat in an airport? Share with us your favorite, your secret. And Jim in Rancho Cordova has been waiting for a while to talk to us. Hi, Jim.
How are you guys?
Hey, tell us what's your favorite place to eat in an airport?
Has to be the Squeeze Inn at SMS.
Oh, the Squeeze Inn is open now?
Yes.
And is it
in Terminal A?
Oh gosh, yeah, the one with the big rabbit.
The one with the Squeeze Inn. Okay, so where is that in Terminal A?
I remember seeing it. It was like on the second floor.
Okay.
Well, I do know when we had our interviews around Christmas time that it was pending. I was kind of surprised that it made it up. But yeah, absolutely. Squeeze in. Great, great call, Jim. Thanks.
Colleen in Roseville, where do you like to eat in an airport, Colleen?
Hi. I'm in San Francisco. I'm not sure the name of the restaurant, but it's the chef that's on the Food Show Network, and it's Kat Cora's restaurant.
Okay. Which terminal is it in?
San Francisco, the International.
In the International Terminal.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get soup in the United Terminal. There's a soup thing there that has about 8 or 9 or 10 different soups. It's not cheap. It's like $8 or $9 for a bowl of soup now.
Yeah, but she has delicious tomato soup with the most fabulous grilled cheese sandwiches.
Tomato soup and grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, that sounds great.
Good idea, Colleen. Thank you. Let's see Jim in Sacramento. Jim, what's your favorite place to eat at an airport?
Yeah, Jack's there, Sacramento on A Terminal.
There you go. Now see Urban Jack's.
Salads, excellent. And any kind that works. My favorite's the grilled chicken there.
You know, and Jack's, because they're carving all that stuff right off the bone, it's fresh food, and it's prepared right in front of you, and you can see it prepared in front of you. You think that makes a difference?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Can't fail there, and it's light, so it's, you get on the plane, and you're comfortable, so that's the way to go.
Gwen in Elk Grove has a favorite place to eat in an airport. Gwen, where's your favorite spot?
So I'm actually a big fan of the California Pizza Kitchen Express. They have a few of them. I think there's one in San Francisco, and then there's also one, I think, in Sacramento in Terminal B still.
Yeah.
You can kind of get normal things that you're used to getting. Like, you can get a salad or a pizza, but they're things that you know. And so it's a lot. It delivers, I think, time and time again.
Now, see, you're somebody, when you go on the road, Gwen, you'd like to find something that you're familiar with?
I do. I think nothing's more disappointing than when you're in a layover, or you're waiting and you just want to grab something good and you wind up being disappointed. And so I'm definitely one that goes back to places that I know are familiar food.
I have a confession to make, Gwen. When I'm in an airport and I'm looking for something familiar, the thing I usually end up with is an Aunt Annie's pretzel hot dog. Which has
so
to be the it has to be the worst.
The
it has to be the worst possible thing that you can eat in an airport: a pretzel hot dog.
Oh boy!
I don't even want to see the nutritional information, but for some reason, and they've come up with this deal now where they're like $3.49 or 2 for $6, and so they're trying to get you to poison yourself twice as quickly as. But don't
and
get
you fall for it every time.
Well, no, I've really cut back to the one because I realize now I eat the first one and then I'm standing. Oh yeah, right, Romano. I'm standing there and I've got the second one and I'm like, why did I buy two of these? Gwen in Sacramento, hold on to the line for us just for a moment, Gwen.
Speaking of hot dogs, in the LAX,
yeah,
Pink's hot dogs. Are you familiar with them?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's.
Do you know, we drove by Pink's Hot Dogs on New Year's Eve in over by the Farmer's Market, the real Pink's Hot Dogs in Los Angeles. It was 9:30 in the morning. There wasn't a single person in line. I almost stopped with my tour group just because I've never seen Pink's ever before without any kind of a line. All right. Well, some ideas from folks. Let's give the prize to Gwen in Elk Grove. Our last caller there, Gwen will get the $50 gift prize. That's a thumbs up here from folks in the studio. So thank you all for calling in.
What about you, Mark? What's give me
my favorite?
You travel to more airports than certainly anybody I know. Give us two or three.
I agree with Urban Jack's in Sacramento. Anything from Urban Jack's is always good. Doesn't matter if you get it out of the airport or anywhere else. I Urban Jack's has some of the best comfort food that. And the good thing about Urban Jack's is that somebody who likes exotic things can go with you to Urban Jack's, and they can get exotic and you can get comfort. So that's, I like that. In San Francisco, I like the soup spot there. In Newark, they used to have a Gallagher's restaurant. It just closed. And they used to serve a roast beef hash for breakfast. That was $18, but it was worth every single penny. It was little pieces of prime rib cut up with potatoes. And if you were a meat and potatoes guy, it didn't have anything to do with breakfast, but that's when they served it. So that would be good. In Houston, in the airport terminal, there's a place in the United area called Real Food. I think it's right between the C and the E concourses where the two of them intercept, and it's called Real Food. And again, it's just a lot of comfort foods and things that are served fairly simply. So that, you don't have a lot of time in an airport. You don't, things that are complicated are not good. And the other thing is when you're buying something in an airport to take onto the plane, Thomas, you're getting ready, don't buy something stinky and bring it on the plane.
No, I agree.
Come on. I mean, these people who buy things, and I don't want to, call out any particular ethnic foods, but you bring things on an airplane to eat and you open it up and it stinks up half of the airplane. Now, come on. We all have to sit there.
Yeah,
I can appreciate that you love that food, but
understandable. A lot of times people will buy it; they're smelling it themselves. They forget that it's drenched in garlic, and they're used to it. But nobody else.
The other
will
thing
be.
Is, dude. If you did the garlic thing last night, maybe consider brushing your teeth, or maybe if you're going to fly on an airplane, maybe just don't do the garlic thing the night before. Just as a courtesy to the rest of us who might be within 20 feet of you on the airplane. Am I sounding like is this turned into a bitch session all of a sudden?
I think they should have a certain section in the airport on the plane, the garlic section over here. The red
people
onion
who didn't
section
brush their
over
teeth
here.
This morning.
People who take their shoes off.
People who take this stinky section.
Clipping their toenails. You've
listened to this program before, obviously. Yeah. All right. Listen, after the news here, we give you an update on the storm. And then after the news, Tom and Steve went out to an international landmark here in Sacramento and went around the world in about 7 or 8 minutes. I think it was a pretty cool story. You are going to need, though, to go to TravelGuysRadio.com. This is a story you'll want to follow along with. So if you're at home listening to us in the storm, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and you'll see the story. And we'll be back with you after the news. All right. Welcome back to the second half of the Travel Guys here. Thomas and Steve LaRosa went out and decided to do a little international visit for us. They went to a spot out in Rancho Cordova that really is an international landmark and walked around. And in a matter of 7 or 8 minutes, we're able to take us just all over the planet. So we're going to go out and talk to those. Steve, you guys walked all around, and there's all kinds of stuff here in the studio, all kinds of treats and yummy things and stuff. I guess we should tell people, go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and you can see there are pictures to follow along with this interview.
There are indeed.
And with your journey, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. So, gentlemen, take it away.
Let our adventure begin around the world in 8 minutes, right here in front of where, Steve?
Well, Tom, we're actually at, I feel like we misled our audience a little bit here.
Maybe a little.
We're at KP International Market and Food Court in beautiful Rancho Cordova.
Well, a lot of folks have probably seen this. Maybe they got off at the light rail station. Maybe they were coming out here to Coles or Golden One. And I know I did, and I saw this building, and I've always wondered what's in it. I mean, if you look at the signs, you've got names of different countries, and I've always been curious as to what's in here. So what do you think?
I think we should give you a tour.
All right, let's go grab a cart and go around the world in 8 minutes or less.
Okay.
Well, okay, we've entered the KP International Food Court and Market. And, Steve, the first thing I noticed is a big, giant food court.
Yeah, they got a real variety over there. They got Korean, Hispanic, Russian, Chinese, Mexican, just about everything you can imagine.
Okay, let's go to the first area, the first country, if you will, in our trip around the world in 8 minutes or less. Our first stop, Steve, where are we?
We are in the Middle East, but right next to it, we're in India as well.
Can't beat that. I mean,
yeah, they've got all kinds of Middle Eastern spices, rices, grains, chutneys. Right here, Tom, you can see you got cans of biryani masala, you got chana masala, you got curry powder, hot curry powder.
Okay, as we turn the corner.
You know, one of the most popular items I know in this store is on aisle 15, and it's these jams from Europe. Now, this is a very popular section with the Ukrainians and the Russians. You got the marinated tomatoes, you got dill pickles Russian style, and over here, kosher dills, and then you got the marinated mushrooms. Very popular item. Here we are on aisle 16. Now, this place, as you can see, is like an art gallery. It's all these imported Russian chocolates.
Guys, if you're looking for something special for your ladies for Valentine's Day, this is the aisle to come to. That's aisle 16.
Candies, Russian, Turkish, peppermint, toffees, all these cookies, all this stuff imported.
Well, Steve, it looks like if you want teas and coffees, oh man, look what we have here.
Yeah, everything. Teas and coffees from Russia, Syria, the United Kingdom. It's incredible. I mean, there must be 500 different varieties of teas and coffees.
Steve, what do we have?
We're in Mexico, Tom. Every kind of pinto bean, dried or canned. Jalapenos.
The big can. Wait a minute. Your favorite?
Menudo. Yep. The hot chilies, jalapeno peppers, red chili sauce, and...
Uh-oh, the hot sauce area. What do we have here, Steve?
You got the regular corn tortillas. And feel that guy. That's hot off the presses.
Right. Oh, in fact, we're standing right in front of the tortilla makers.
That's right. They have a tortilla making machine here. And they not only produce corn tortillas, they have these red tortillas, which are the habanero corn tortillas. Plus in green, you got your jalapeno corn tortillas. You can buy those like that, or they also make chips out of them down here.
And I noticed that your 20-pack of freshly made tortillas, $1.29. Yeah, now, if you want to really splurge, you'll spend a whole $1.79 for 20 of the jalapeno ones. Well, we've turned the corner at the KP International Food Court and Market and have entered a completely different area of the world, one that it feels a little more familiar to me.
Every possible kind of sake you can imagine. It's all here.
You know, if you have a sweet tooth for particularly Japanese and Korean type sweets, aisle 5 here at KP. What do we got, Steve?
You got crackers, you got chips, you got cookies. Right next to the wasabi peas, you got sriracha peas.
Hey, look, Jolly Pong.
You know, you just can't find the Jolly Pong anywhere in this town, but gosh darn it, there it is, right there on aisle 5.
Oh, no, wait. Steve, I think they have pokey.
They do, and you know, the kids love these things. As a matter of fact, they give these away. Santa comes in around Christmas time, and they give all these little packages of pokey to the kids.
For those that don't know, describe what a pokey is.
It's like a chocolate-covered biscuit stick.
Well, I think we should get one of those, and we're gonna have. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you'll see a picture of pokies. Steve, my first visit here, the thing that I was most impressed with is the frozen food section. That looks like frozen mussel there. We've got frozen frog legs, frozen monkfish.
Sea bass. There's so many varieties of shrimp that they have here, and they move a lot of shrimp. Something I've never uttered before in my life.
They do move a lot of shrimp. There'll be stuff here that you'll go, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. Scallops I recognize. Iceland cod is familiar.
Frozen
steamed clams.
Again, in the frozen section, frozen fish. I think we've all seen tilapia, you know, in the grocery store that you could buy and take home. But if you check our website, travelguysradio.com, we got a picture of a frozen tilapia, somewhat in a semi-natural state.
And a picture of you in your semi-natural state holding that frozen tilapia.
All right. Squid?
Oh, yeah? Calamari? You won't find this anywhere else.
What is that?
Alligator feet.
Ah! We're in the produce department.
That's right, Tom. You can see how huge it is here. 7,000 square feet.
And then these guys
this
are...
This thing is wild.
It's some sort of an Indian melon.
Indian bitter melon. It looks like... how would you describe that thing?
I don't know. It looks like a dinosaur egg or something.
Yes. It's definitely got.
It's got a spiny skin. What do we have here?
Okay, I'm going to give you a hint.
Uh huh.
Some like it hot. It's the largest jars of kimchi you're ever going to see anywhere, and the widest selection of kimchi as well. A little bit of this goes a long way, my friend. It's hot.
And you can see it at TravelGuysRadio.com. Okay, we just turned a corner, and all I can tell you, Steve, is I have no idea. I don't recognize where we are. I don't... What do you think?
I think we're lost, Tom, and I think we need to call 911, see if we get some help, get some rescue activity going on.
I'm lost in the KP International.
But how many air miles do you think we earned on this trip? Well, we got to ask Mark, let's say 50, 60,000 air miles, where we could go on something like that. I mean, we have snacks. We've got... tortilla chips and Jolly Pong.
we're set. Okay, now you know what? Let's throw it back to us in the studio.
Okay, but I've never been very fond of us in the studio, but if you insist, okay.
Yeah, and here we are, us in the studio. There is stuff everywhere in the studio. It's here. Funny shaped and looking and funny smelling stuff.
Mark, a pokey?
Supposedly you can eat all of it, but Steve, really, this is one of the most talked about places in town. Because when you said, could we do a story here? I said, sure, because everybody talks about this place. Whether they eat there or not, they talk about it. It is one of the most unusual places in Sacramento.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, Tom and I had the same experience, which is I stumbled across the place. Tom stumbles across the place. You walk in, you start at one end. An hour later, after you've meandered up and down the aisles, right, Tom, and you see all the different stuff, and then you end up in the food court, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's a day trip.
Picture, yeah, it's a destination.
Picture two guys with a microphone and a shopping cart walking down the aisles of this international food market.
Nobody seemed to care.
Nobody.
It was very interesting.
It was
one side, you know, get out of the way.
Okay, I haven't been there. The people who shop at Walmart, what they wear and stuff, is legendary. So, what did the people look like who shop at this place?
The United Nations.
Really?
Yeah.
And that would be what I would guess, is that it would that's the way it would look. And I see where they have this in the rainstorm today. People who were shopping out there would not have gotten wet. They have this umbrella brigade that take people out to their cars in the rain. What is that all about?
Exactly. As part of their customer service, they got guys in rain slickers. Got the umbrellas at the ready on your way out to the car, on your way back in. They will cover you with their umbrella. Plus, they got a cute little thing where if you happen to bring your own umbrella in, they give you a plastic sheath so that you don't, you know, track water in and people don't slip and hurt themselves.
All over the place. These are actually people who care about, probably about a little bit like customer service and all of those kinds of things.
Very much so, yeah.
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I really, really do. I think it's a really neat place. And you guys did a terrific job of bringing it, I think, to our listeners. If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com, you can see pictures of all that stuff. If you missed part of the interview, it'll be on the podcast. It'll be posted on Tuesday. Congratulations, guys, on what was a really good piece.
Thanks. KP International, I'll get it right this time, Market and
Food. On Olson Drive in Rancho Cordova.
Market and Food Court.
When we come back, we are joined by Jack Gallagher, who has a brand new show, and he's going to tell us about it as we move along with the Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway.
We are the Travel Guys, Tom and Mark, here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And from time to time, we are fortunate enough to have, well, a Sacramento legend, an icon.
Yikes. Jack.
Jack Gallagher, join us on our little silly radio show. Welcome to the program, Jack.
Thank you very much. That's quite a buildup. I don't know if I'm going to be able to live up to that. But
yeah, well, it's this is the Travel Guys, and it's understandable that you would consider it to be the pinnacle of your career. But
it is top of the heap.
Not everybody just gets here, Jack. You know, I mean, people fight and scratch and claw to get these spots. So
I would tell you how long it took me to get on this show, but that would take up all our time.
And having said that, Jack, thanks for joining us. And no, just kidding. Jack has a brand new show, which is currently going on at the B Street Theater, and which is a place that you have performed at before. I've seen you do a couple of great shows there. This one is called Five Songs. And when I went online and read a little bit about it, I thought, that is like the coolest idea I've ever heard. Please explain to our listeners, Jack, what Five Songs is about.
Well, I'm a big music fan, pop music, rock and roll music, and over the course of time, I started thinking about all these songs that I like and why I liked them, and I started writing down songs that I like, and I came up with a list of about 350 songs before I stopped and thought, well, there's got to be a different reason I like particular songs, and so I started to write down the songs that had a real strong memory connected with them. Not necessarily the arrangement of the song or the lyrics or the vocal, but something that it made me think of when I heard the song. And I started writing those down, and those seemed more interesting because there are some songs that I don't like because they're associated with a bad memory. And so that's what the show is based on, is those five songs. But there's a little twist to that in that we start out with nine songs at the beginning of the evening, and the audience picks, they get to pick four of the songs they want to hear about, and I pick one.
So each show then is different.
Yeah, every show has the, every show is absolutely different. Even if for some reason the audience, one audience picks the same four songs as another audience, I have to order them in a different way to make the show have a flow to it, to have some sort of rhythm to it. So,
now, Jack, do you actually perform these songs with the band?
No, I have Tommy Dunbar, who's a great musician who has been in a band called the Rubinoos for literally 45 years. He's on stage with me, and we perform pieces of songs that people choose. And then there's one song, generally, depending on what the audience picks, there's one song that we do the whole song together. So it's just me and Tommy, and he has a guitar and keyboards, and he sort of fills in stuff during the show for particular songs. He'll play parts of songs. And but most of it is the storytelling about the songs.
Got it.
And what the memory of the song is. So like I said, there are no, it's not really, oh, this has a great lyric, listen to this harmony. It's basically, well, this reminds me of my first job, or this reminds me of my wife, or something like that.
Everybody has songs that have popped up somewhere in their life and serve kind of as markers for particular moments in time or memories. When I was reading, it was really interesting, Jack, because when I was online yesterday in preparation for our interview and looking at the show, I immediately started thinking to myself, well, if I was in the audience, I would yell out this song. I kind of went away in theater of the mind even while I was just on the website. What gave you the idea to do this sort of a show?
Tommy Dunbar, who I mentioned, and I started a podcast called Five Songs, where we ask a guest who's a music person or who just like, or doesn't necessarily even have to like music, to bring five songs that do just this. You explained it perfectly, Mark. I should have let you explain what the show's about. They're markers. They're, you know, this is a song that reminds me of this specific time in my life, and it leads to a story and a conversation. I had an idea years and years and years ago, actually made a pilot for it that never sold, called Bring Your Records, and the concept was basically the same. I wanted to look through somebody's record collection and have them explain to me why their music, the music that they like, the sort of the flow of the music that they like, and why they like the music they like, if that makes any sense. And then it sort of morphed into this five songs, and you know, people say, well, why five? And, well, I don't know. It seemed like a good number. 10 seemed like too many. 3 didn't seem like enough. So 5 seemed like the right number. And I just have always been a music person and love music. And there are songs, and I think you're absolutely right, Mark. There are songs that as soon as anyone hears a song, they think, oh, this is, you know, my wedding day, or this is the day my mom passed away, reminds me of that, or whatever.
Every time I hear Tie a Yellow Ribbon by Tony Orlando, I think about driving between Sacramento and Yuba City for a particular work project back many years ago, and the lonely nights on Highway 99 when it used to be two. I mean, you know, so that's the kind of stuff that you're talking about.
That's exactly what the show is about, and it's funny because out of the 9 songs that people get to pick, there's probably 7 that people know right away, can look and say, oh, okay, well, I know what that song is. And those are the ones they pick, but they don't know the stories that go with them. And some of the stories, you know, some of the songs don't bring up great memories. And so I talk about that, and I'll say to people after that part of the show, you didn't realize you were getting that when you picked that song, and I've said to people, I'm sorry if I've ruined that song for you, that every time you hear it now, you're going to think of my story for it. And then there's other ones that are really happy for me.
We're talking with Jack Gallagher on The Travel Guys. Jack has a brand new show at the B Street Theater that runs through the 1st of March called 5 Songs. Jack, what do you got, about 6 or 7 shows a week? It looked like the schedule kind of varied a little bit there, but there are some matinees and evening performances, and it's a really intimate theater. If you've never been to B Street before, I'm guessing a lot of our audience has at this point, but if you have not been to B Street, this would be an excellent opportunity to discover what really is the most intimate, I think, theater in town. It's really an enjoyable place to be. Do you like performing there? You've done a number of shows at B Street.
Yeah, I love it. I'm really lucky. You know, this is the 5th show that they've commissioned from me. And like you said, it's totally intimate. People are right there in front of you. You can see everybody, which sometimes is not a great thing if you're on stage. You go, oh, look, there's my neighbor Bob. But,
well,
yeah, it's just it's a great place. And if people haven't been there, they should not just this show, but give it a try, because it's a great place. And we do actually 8 shows a week. There are 2 matinees. There's a matinee on Wednesday and a matinee on Sunday, and then we do 6 evening performances a week.
Yeah, and you should be warned, ladies and gentlemen, that the Jack shows often sell out. So if you want to go, plan ahead.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Here again, it's not a large facility, and Jack is just crazy popular.
Jack is fairly popular, yeah.
And yeah, nobody knows why that's happening. That's one of those, like, mystery things. But
I would go in the middle of the night to see Jack Gallagher at the B Street Theater without even knowing what you were doing. I think that it's an amazing venue, and you've really mastered it very well. 5 songs. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can see a link there where you can go to the B Street Theater and get your tickets if you would like. Again, as Tom mentioned, really suggest that show runs through the 1st of March. So if you don't already have tickets, call your buddies that you go to the theater with, the gals that you go with, and get a ticket and make it a night out. Jack, this is kind of a dramedy. Is that the deal? I mean, it's kind of like drama and comedy and all over the place.
It depends. That's what's interesting to me about this show, is it's not really a play in the sense that there's a thread, there's one theme. You mentioned the show about my son, that had a thread throughout about him. This is 5 different short stories, and each song has a different story with it, and again, depending on how the songs are chosen by the audience, that depends on how the evening goes. And there's some funny stuff, there's some really big laughs in it, and there's some sort of contemplative stuff, and there's some songs, like I say in the show, there's some perfectly good songs that have been ruined for me by some event that was happening that I associate them with.
Jack Gallagher, the show is 5 Songs. I think you will enjoy it. Jack, thanks for some of your time today. Break a leg on the stage, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Good talking with you.
Yeah, and lose a guitar pick or two while you're at it.
All right.
Yeah, Jack Gallagher. Jack, Steve, you said you went and saw that show.
Saw the show a few days ago, and much like all of Jack's shows, very entertaining. You know, it's the old you laugh, you cry, you laugh, you cry.
It's like I said in the interview, you don't, I've seen two of his shows there, and I would go see a Jack Gallagher show without knowing what it was, just because I would know that it would be entertaining and creative, and listening to him talk about the show, I've got to figure out a way to get down there between now and March the 1st. And I'm guessing that you shouldn't wait until the last couple of days, because as Tom said, his shows tend to sell out.
Yeah, and what's different about this one is all of Jack's shows have been great, but this one has a lot of audience involvement, because, you know, everybody has a favorite song, and there's a couple of places. Of course, Tommy Dunbar is accompanying him on guitar, so there's people are singing along in a few places, and everybody knows the lyrics. It was quite funny.
Everybody's having a good time. Hey, we have a couple of things we need to do, take care of here. Our lucky winner this week for the Sports Leisure Vacations jackpot, tour certificate jackpot, is Carol Philpott. We had a winner last week. Velma did give us a call, and so Velma Thomas. So, Karen, the jackpot's back to $100. So if you call the office Monday or Tuesday, you'll win a $100 travel card from Sports Leisure Vacations. And if you don't, it'll go up to $200 for a lucky winner next week. This week on Rob on the Road on Monday night on KVIE, sponsored by Sports Leisure Vacations, Rob Stewart takes you on a journey through the past, present, and future on Treasure Island in San Francisco. You ever been there, Tom?
I have. That's big fun.
Yeah, Treasure Island's kind of a neat place. If for folks who don't know, who have just moved here recently, or younger folks, it was a spot of a World's Fair many years ago.
There you go.
And kind of an interesting place. Rob Stewart with Rob on the Road on KVIE on Monday night. What are you up to, Steve, this week? Sorry to put you on the spot there.
Keeping an eye on the weather.
Yeah. We'll position Steve by the window, and he'll cover everything from there. There is a lot of leftover stuff here.
Well, we'll just split it up here. I tell you what, though. I want the Jolly Pong.
The Russian candies.
And the pokey.
Things that look like onion rings.
You can have those.
Funny-looking cucumber-ish
things. A little too garlicky for me.
Today was a fun show. We didn't really get outside of Sacramento on our travel show. We'll try to take you someplace more exotic next week. But thank you for coming along with the travel guys. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 right here on News Radio KFBK.
See you now.